Welcome to the Motherhood Unfiltered podcast. We are a group of moms striving to bring balance to motherhood with lots of laughs and some tears along the way. We seek to walk alongside you in this journey as we learn and grow from one another. Hello, friends. It's Brianna. And in today's episode, we're going to dive into the topic of being a hopeful adoptive parent. Here today, I have our fellow collaborator, Justine, walking us through her experience as a hopeful adoptive parent.
Hi, friends. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be talking about this topic today. It's something that I'm really passionate about and I have personal experience with, so I can't wait to dive in with you.
Okay, let's dive right into it. How is a hopeful adoptive parent different than an adoptive parent?
So a hopeful adoptive parent is someone who is pursuing adopting a child, whereas an adoptive parent is someone that has already adopted their child. And these are really two very different roles. Hopeful adoptive parents should not be claiming a child to be their own if they have not yet been adopted. Similarly, a birth mother is not a birth mother until she signs relinquishment paperwork. If she's choosing to make an adoption plan for her child but has not yet signed relinquishment, she's referred to as an expectant mother.
And that's crazy because I didn't even realize, you know, there was a difference between the two.
Yeah, I mean, before I was in this position, I didn't know there was a difference either. And so I have just learned throughout this process how powerful our words are. And so I just think it's really important to have other people aware of this. I know that when we started to pursue adoption, movies and media and, you know, what I've seen on TV is kind of all I really knew about adoption. And I was even watching shows where the term birth mother is used to actually describe an expectant mother before relinquishment has been signed. And before me learning about all of this, I would have never thought anything of that. And now right. I just sit there and cringe when I see this happen because I just think, oh, you know, that's just not okay. Like, she could potentially change her mind and decide right. to parent, and that would be totally okay. And so it can be considered coercive if we're already referring to these women as birth mothers. And so same with adoptive parents. If you are a hopeful adoptive parent, you are a hopeful adoptive parent. And once that relinquishment paperwork has been signed, then you are considered the adoptive parent and that child has been placed in your care. A lot of people think this may seem like a simple misuse of vocabulary, but our words actually do matter and they have so much power.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you're saying this because as someone who is not familiar with the adoption world, I think it's so important to be educated about things like this. So you started your research in the fall of 2018, correct?
Yes. So in September of 2018, I started to research different adoption professionals and I would send them emails just to collect information on their agency because, again, I had no experience and I really didn't know what I was doing. I have not crossed paths until recently with anyone else who has pursued adoption, been adopted, made an adoption plan for their child. Just, I had no experience whatsoever. So I just took to Google and started Googling adoption agencies or adoption information in my area. And then I Googled adoption professionals. And so there were all different things that I was learning in a very short amount of time. So by November, we had scheduled our first call with an adoption consultant group, which is the group we ended up working with. And exactly a year to the month of that phone call, our sweet girl was born.
And you all, she is so adorable. I mean, I just love her. But anyway, sorry. I just had to throw in that little squirrel because
she is just the sweetest.
Yes. So you said it took a year. So how did you spend that year preparing to adopt?
So as I kind of mentioned before, no one close to me had adopted before. So it was totally up to me to educate myself. And I was not prepared for the information I was about to find. There is so much to learn about adoption, and as a hopeful adoptive parent, it is our responsibility to learn. There is no one else out there who is going to do the work for you or is going to teach it to you. And right. So if you are pursuing adoption as a hopeful adoptive parent, it is 100% your responsibility to make sure that you are fully educated. So I took to Google, I started researching the difference between adoption agencies, adoption consultants, adoption lawyers, which at the time I didn't even know there were three different avenues that you could go through. But then I started researching the different types of adoption. There's foster to adopt, private adoptions, right. domestic adoptions, international adoptions. And so it became information overload, but is never something I regretted. And so I just took time with my husband sifting through that information.
So information overload, I'm sure. And I couldn't imagine taking all of it in at one time. So taking it all in, what did you and Jordan end up going with and why?
So we ultimately decided, after researching the different types of adoption professionals, we chose adoption consultants. And then looking through the different types of adoptions, we chose to pursue a private domestic infant adoption. It just felt like it was the right fit for us and that that was what our family was meant to do.
And then it all began.
Yes, it did. So all this stuff just kind of came to a head and you're just left with all this paperwork. Oh my goodness, the paperwork. If you know anything about adoption, you know there is so much paperwork. But that's for another episode. What I really want to address today is the knowledge that we have gained through this experience and that we continue to gain.
Yes, let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay, so back when I was researching the different adoption professionals, I started following their agencies on Instagram. I love Instagram. I prefer it to Facebook. Yes. It's just a quick snippet. And so again, like what I did on Google, I just started searching profiles just with the word adoption. And so that led me down just this rabbit hole of accounts to follow. And some of them were in our area in the Central Valley of California, and others were out of state. And so somehow I ended up following this adoption agency in South Carolina called Quiverful Adoptions. I have no idea how I stumbled on their account, but somehow in my quest for knowledge, I found their account. I started following them. And then one day in their stories, they posted something about an episode from a podcast. Well, at that point, I had never listened to podcasts before. Mm-hmm. I wasn't interested in them. You know, my sister tried to get me to listen to podcasts because she's the podcast queen. Right. But I was brand new to the idea of podcasts, but I was just wanting to know as much as I could about adoption. So I decided to start listening.
And that's such an amazing and different way to learn about someone. I don't know why. I just feel like you get a lot more information than what you see on a social media page or just a website.
Yes, completely. So listening to their podcast, it just opened up a whole nother world for me. Their podcast is designed solely on adoption, but even within adoption, there's so many different avenues that you can go through. You know, the private adoptions and the international, but then they also had birth mothers come on as guest speakers, adoptees come on as guest speakers. Nice. They talked about home studies and social workers and foster care. I mean, it was just so many different things within adoption that they discussed on their podcast. And so when I was listening to one of their episodes, they had two girls who host their own podcast called Adopt Well, and they are both adoptive mothers. And so then I thought, okay, well, now I have another podcast to listen to. And so I started listening to the Adopt Well podcast, which just challenged my knowledge and understanding as a hopeful adoptive parent even more. So then naturally I found them on Instagram and started following them too. And so I kind of just became not obsessed, because that makes me sound a little crazy, but I just wanted to know. It just seemed like every episode was mind-blowing to me. Right. I just couldn't believe things I was hearing. Not that they were bad, but just that I had never considered them before. Mm-hmm. And so I was so happy to be gaining that information. And so one of the guest speakers that has stood out to me, and I refer people to her all the time, is this woman named Ashley Mitchell. And she's a birth mother and a founder of Lifetime Healing. And she has dedicated her life to advocating for post-placement care for birth mothers. She was one of the first guest speakers I heard on the Quiverful Adoptions podcast. And then the Adopt Well podcast also hosted her. And she is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to a birth mother's perspective in adoption. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I figured she's got to have an Instagram.
Right.
Sure enough, she did. So I started following her on Instagram. And, you know, she has a lot of topics that she talks about in her highlights and in her stories. Then she mentioned that she has a website for Lifetime Healing. And so on her website, she has free downloads for hopeful adoptive parents, which includes questions that hopeful adoptive parents should be asking agencies to ensure that those agencies have ethical practices when it comes to adoption.
And you keep saying, you know, I heard this and it was really helpful. And I heard this and it was really helpful. So how did becoming more educated on this topic help you as a hopeful adoptive parent?
I'm really embarrassed to say that when Jordan and I made the decision that we were going to be pursuing adoption, we had had several conversations about adoption previously in our relationship and in our marriage, but it was like go time. We've made the decision. We're going to pursue it. And at that time, I had never considered any other side of the adoption triad. Mm-hmm. And prior to these podcasts and following these Instagram accounts, I had never even heard the term adoption triad.
Right.
And so the adoption triad consists of the adoptive parents, the birth families, and the adoptee. So when we first decided to pursue adoption, I had never considered the other sides before. It was like I had tunnel vision as a hopeful adoptive parent that, you know, this was our journey and we were going to build our family. Instead of thinking, you know, we're going to be connecting or potentially connecting with a woman making an adoption plan for her child. Right. And so that is just something that was so powerful to me. And even though I am embarrassed to say that I didn't know that before, when we know better, we do better. And so that's why I just want to be someone who can refer other people to these resources so that they can educate themselves. And it doesn't just have to be someone who is a hopeful adoptive parent. It can be anyone that is touched by adoption. And if I'm being perfectly honest, listening to these podcasts is not easy. And it still isn't easy. I still listen to the podcasts when new episodes are released. And sometimes I have to press pause. And I have to come back to it at a later time when I am in a different headspace. Because something else that I have learned is that adoption is both beauty and brokenness. Right. And again, I had never considered the brokenness aspect of it. I had only seen the beauty of the completion of our family and how much joy a child could bring to our life. And so when you listen to these podcasts, there is a lot of heavy stuff in them, and it can be very emotional to listen to it.
Right.
But the point is even if I am pressing pause, I always go back to it. I don't choose not to listen because it's hard to hear. Right. I knew that as a hopeful adoptive parent, if I was ever given the incredible privilege to adopt, I owed it to my future child right. to make sure I was informed and educated.
Right. That's such a good point, that even if it's hard to hear, come back to it.
Yes. And I have told my family and friends that when I have referred them to these podcasts, to let them know that it's okay to press pause. Just make sure you come back to it. And something that really spoke to me through these podcasts was another speaker, and she is actually an adoptee, and her name is Elena Hall. She wrote a book that is a collection of memoirs from other adoptees called Through Adopted Eyes. And so I remember she was the first adoptee that I had heard on a podcast. And again, I had never considered adoptee perspective. And so it was just so eye-opening to me. And I was so thankful for her honesty and transparency in that podcast that I looked up her book right away. Mm-hmm. And so it was super important to me to hear from the adoptees, to hear how, as hopeful adoptive parents or adoptive parents, you can do better. And so this last Christmas was our first Christmas with our sweet Magnolia Yay. Ray. Yes, it was so special. And it was just a really emotional time. I can't even count how many times I cried, and right. just like so much joy and yes. love. And it's just such a magical time of the year anyways.
Right.
And so I was so just excited for that time and just on fire for our adoption and so grateful for our girl and for her birth family. So we bought a copy of Elena Hall's book, Through Adopted Eyes, for each of Magnolia's aunties, uncles, and grandparents. It was really important to me that we wrote them each a letter inside the cover, and we asked them not only to read the book, but when they finished, to not put it back on their own bookshelf.
Right.
I wanted them to choose another family member or someone that they know Jordan and I are really close to that will be a constant in Magnolia's life. And we want them to pass the book on to them. Nice. And so we want it to be kind of like this chain of mm-hmm. when then that person finishes and they pass it on, because we want anyone who is involved in our lives to be educated and to know what adoption can be like through the eyes of an adopted child. And granted, from reading that book myself, I know that every adoptee has a different perspective, but that's right. the beauty of it. You at least can have an idea yeah. of what some of them experience. And so it was really sweet, actually. Just the other day, my dad was so cute. He called me to tell me that he bunny-eared a few pages in Through Adopted Eyes. And so he wanted to talk to me about it. And it's those conversations that just make such a difference. And it meant the world to me that he is reading the book. Right. You know, I can gift people the book and I can ask people to listen to these podcasts and follow these Instagram accounts, but essentially they have to be the ones right. to do it.
Yeah.
And so to hear that he has been reading it and he wants to talk to me about some of the things in the book just brought me to tears, because I was so grateful and felt so supported in that moment.
Definitely. And it's so awesome to have that kind of support. Speaking of family, how did you approach this with your family, letting them know that the three of you needed their support in the right way?
Well, ever since we started our research with adoption and we started listening to the podcast and all these accounts, we started realizing how important it is that our support system and Magnolia's support system understand adoption. And so we wanted to make it very clear to our family that the number one way they can support us and they can support Magnolia is to be educated.
Right.
I mean, that is bottom line, the number one thing that we need from them. Mm-hmm. We need her aunties, her uncles, her grandparents, and her cousins to know what is okay to say or ask and what is not okay. Right. Because the mama bear in me just, my heart breaks when I think about the potential that someone could say something one day to hurt Magnolia's feelings. Right. And they might not say it to be malicious. Right. It just might be ignorance. And mm-hmm. so I want to, and I know that I can't protect her from everything. And these things could potentially happen, but I don't want them to happen to the people that are closest to her, because they can control that.
Right.
The people that are closest to her have the opportunity to be educated and to show that love and support to her. And so that's why it's been so important to us that the Constance in her life put in that effort to understand adoption. And even more so, you know, with her cousins as well, because she has many cousins now, and a handful of them are, they're all older than her, but they are young enough to grow up with her. And it's really important to me that they also know about adoption. And granted, they're little. One of her cousins is a year older than her. The other is 2 years older. Right. And then she has two cousins that are about five. No, they're not five. They're much older. They're about 7 years older. Oh my gosh, time flies. And so obviously that doesn't look like them reading through adopted eyes or right. them, you know, following Instagram accounts. But what that does look like is me hoping that my siblings and their significant others, as they educate themselves, they start to have conversations with their children right. so that as Magnolia's cousins, they are also learning.
Yeah. Shortly after Magnolia was born, I remember receiving a letter in the mail from you and Jordan, and I thought it was the best idea and so helpful as your friend. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we mailed a letter to all our friends and family with a list of the same resources that I have just talked about, and to educate themselves about adoption. So those Instagram accounts, the book, the podcasts. And I was really nervous to send out the letter because I didn't want to seem like I'm demanding people right. be educated. And so I was really thoughtful in how I worded the letter. And I just tried to make it really clear that that's the best way that they can love and support Magnolia. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's going to be their choice right. if they want to educate themselves or not. But I felt like as her mother, I wanted to put that out there so that our friends and family can take it upon themselves to help understand adoption a little bit more.
One thing that you did include in the letter was like some topics that were a little off limits. And that helped me, like, as a friend to know, okay, you know, I haven't really had the opportunity to look into this, these resources yet, but for the time being, I do know that this is something that I shouldn't be asking. This is something for Justine and Jordan and Magnolia, and that's it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that one of those kind of off limits topics is including Magnolia's birth mother, because we get so many questions about her and so many questions about Magnolia's birth family. And when I hope that our family and friends do choose to use these resources, they're going to find that her story is not ours to share. And so what we are willing to share about Magnolia's birth mother is that she is incredibly selfless, brave, and she is the most wonderful human we have ever met. And we have an incredible relationship with her.
Yeah.
So something that really spoke to me as well is that, similar to my dad talking about, you know, bunny earring pages in the book, someone who does listen into these podcasts is my sister, Stephanie. And she's the one that tried to get me into podcasts way before I knew podcasts were a thing. And I would just tell her, nah, you know, I'm good. I'm good. But as soon as I started diving into Quiverful Adoptions podcast and the Adopt Well podcast, she dove headfirst in with me. And so she calls me each time that she has listened to one of the podcasts so that we can talk about it. And she'll ask me how I felt about that topic or if I have a different perspective, and she'll tell me, you know, things that surprised her or mm-hmm. things that maybe was upsetting to hear, but she's glad that she now knows it. And so just like my dad calling me, having my sister call me and tell me that she's listened makes me feel so supported and so grateful that she's Magnolia's auntie, because I know that she is going to have Magnolia's back and she's going to understand her and she is going to protect her. And so it's just my hope that if I continue to share these podcasts enough with family and friends, that one day they're all going to tune in to learn a little bit more about adoption.
Yeah. And especially because we are all constantly learning.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, these podcasts that I listen to, they still have new episodes coming out. And so now that we aren't just hopeful adoptive parents, but actually adoptive parents, mm-hmm. the education, it just doesn't end. Right. I still tune in. I still follow those Instagram accounts. And if anything, I've now followed more accounts. I have learned that there are books that are appropriate for adoption, books that are inappropriate for adoption, and so many other things that, I mean, we'd have to save for another episode, but the majority of the profiles that I follow on Instagram are adoption related, because I know that the best thing that I can do for my daughter is to continue to be educated right. and hear from all sides of the adoption triad, not just the adoptive parent.
Right. Well, thank you again, Justine, for telling us about your journey. And thank you for all sitting in this space with us as we talk about the differences between hopeful adoptive parents and adoptive parents.
Thank you so much for listening. It's just my hope that through this podcast, I can help other hopeful adoptive couples get at least a snapshot of where they can begin, you know, when they're pursuing their adoption journey. And I also hope that anyone that is touched by adoption in any sides of the triad can gain a better understanding of how they can educate themselves and support those that are close to them.
And Justine gave us some amazing resources, but if you would like some more or would like a more detailed, you know, who is that again or whatever, please reach out to us. Like Justine said, no matter what part you play, it is so important to be educated. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram @_motherhoodunfiltered. Thanks again for joining us.